And it is 7 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 10 a.m. in the East Coast. And it is 5 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today, November 8, 2015. And this is Orly Benny Davis. And this is the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Sunday, we are going to play Israeli music. And we are going to think together what is going to happen in the Monday visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu in Washington to meet with President Obama. Then we're going to salute one of our Israeli champions in space, the astronaut Ilan Ramon, who was on the Discovery shuttle and the only Israeli that was sent to the moon and never made it back. Let's start with some music.
10, 9, 8, 7. We have a go for main engine start.
Discovery is not an option we choose. It is a desire written in the human heart. We find the best among us, send them forth into unmapped darkness, and pray they will return. They go in peace for all mankind, and all mankind is in their debt.
On board Space Shuttle Columbia, Israel's first astronaut, Ilan Ramon, conducted cutting-edge scientific research together with six other crew members. Ramon took a number of Jewish artifacts with him into orbit, including a small Torah scroll that survived Bergen-Belsen. After 16 days in orbit, Space Shuttle Columbia exploded on re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere.
Columbia, Houston, UHF comm check.
Ilan Ramon passed away in his prime, leaving a widow and four young children. Yet his legacy reminds us of our Jewish identity, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. Part of Ramon's diary was miraculously recovered amongst the debris scattered across Texas. 18 pages survived 5,000 degree heat and a 40-mile fall to Earth at minus 700 degrees. On one page, Ramon had handwritten the prayer so that he could make Kiddush on Friday night in outer space.
I'm doing it because I feel I represent all Israelis and all of the Jewish communities.
His friend and rabbi, Tzvi Konakov, recounted.
Ilan Ramon turned to me with a question. How does one mark the Sabbath in space? With every 90 minutes, another sunset. Every 10 and a half hours is a Sabbath. Every 20 days, Rosh Hashanah. Jerusalem, we have a problem. But Ilan taught us a powerful message. No matter how fast we're going, no matter how important our work, we need to pause and think about why we're here on Earth.
Davis, and this is the Impossible Truth on Sunday. It's kind of a Jerusalem desk. It's that day that I speak to you about what Israel have done, what is going to happen in our little community in the Middle East, which is in shambles, let's say, to be polite. There was a rumor that the Syrian used a chemical weapon once again, which makes me believe that the Russians did not hold their part of the deal from 2013. I know that there was a Russian airplane shut down by terrorist bomb that was put on board the plane that took off from Egypt, Sinai desert to, I guess, Russia, exploded in midair, which is sad because many people lost their lives. Now, Russian involvement in the Middle East put her in jeopardy, of course. There will be many people that try to attack her. I would strengthen security like they know to do very well. Because, it's all bets are up. If they are shooting, if they are putting on a plane, they're attacking civilian, it means that they are not going to hold power. However, I wouldn't mess with the Russian if there is any sense in their mind. Not that there is, because the battle that they are making is not a battle that they think that they're gonna win. They are actually suiciding themselves. They're killing themselves in the name of whatever. I guess that. The thought that it will be a good ending for a miserable life that they probably have. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not going to try to understand them, but I'm just saying the Russians are playing, a very, very strong hand. But let's remind them that Assad promised not to use chemical weapon and it was supposed to surrender them. The fact that there is rumors that it was used. I don't know if it was used by the Syrian or by somebody else. Whatever it is, somebody is holding it. So it's the responsibility of the one in charge. And I would say that it's not easy to be a player in this game. I've been listening to American conference that took place a few days back about the involvement of America in the world and how much sacrifice she made. And by all means, American people did a lot for mankind all over. They discovered so many things. They did so many good deeds for humanity. They tried to keep peace. They are sending forces. They send people to Iraq to combat. They lost their lives, some of them. First of all, I want to say that whoever complained with America doesn't even have a clue of the sacrifice that America made, because they send their own, very own, to save the Iraqi people, to try to settle the Middle East, to talk to those goons to help the world. I'm saying this country on a mission of liberty for everybody, for justice for all. It's not only a saying, it's a way of living, and they've been giving it all. Now tomorrow Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu is going to come to play in Washington D.C. If I could say anything, I want to go on really soft, because I have an issue with the attitude of, of people front of the rank, and I have a problem. Maybe it's not right, maybe it's out of line, but on the eve of the visit, I really want to beg for some patience, because I understand that, sometimes the audacity of one man make everybody pay the price. And this is not Israel. Israeli are the best friends of American by heart. It's not by choice or by pocketbook. It's by heart. They love America and what it represents. They copy it not because they they think they are, you know, something only to copy, it's because they believe they're great. And I salute that. So I'm saying when the American president is meeting with the Israeli prime minister, please consider the love and the willingness of everything, you know, we do together. We promote peace, we promote, you know, strength. Of course, in Israeli case, sometimes I read the news. I read the news today. There is a woman who attacked soldier, stabbed them in the middle of a crossway. The soldier shoot her because that's the order. You cannot attack a soldier. Now the Palestinian complaining that the soldier killed them. It's unbelievable. They're acting like terrorists who want mercy after they're dead. They got killed. If the Israeli, you know, get hurt, nobody, they're blaming on what? They're acting as terrorists these days, and they need to stop it. And they need to stop it not because, you know, there is some fast solution or somebody's going to pay their bills. It's hard in the Middle East for everybody. Everyone has a hard time here. But they need to remember where they are walking. I'll remind them all that this land is the Holy Land. And until we don't respect it as a holy, and we're not talking about, you know, the people are secular, they don't like people preaching or telling about God. So go live at another place. You choose to live in the Holy Land, that's the scripture, that's the book, this is the Bible. There is only a tiny little place in the world called the Holy Land. That is the promise. Now, if you are trying, if you are, let's say, gambling life or anything, try to stick with the rules of engagement, which saying, you know, this book survived 2,000 years and more, it means it's the most read in the world, the Bible, which, by the way, is not allowed, you know, it's not taught in American school, which is ridiculous, let's say it. I can't believe it. But let's say, if you gamble your, you know, let's say we are redividing, we are redoing everything, right? There is the Bible. This book, it's like a guide. It's a book. That it contains the Ten Commandments, means that it's real, right? Use it as a, you know, guideline for at least this piece of land, at least for Jerusalem. You can't even risk the chance that you might be wrong on this one. The Holy Land is holy by God's decree. That's it. Period. Everybody who walked around there knows it. There is no battle for Jerusalem for nothing all those years. And then they're talking about, oh, we give a Palestinian, we give the fight. Who are those Palestinians? Excuse me. By all respect, We are holding the Bible as our testament. It's the witness to the ownership of this land. Not because it's ours, not because it's geographically situated someplace. It's because it's called by the decree. You have to keep it holy. It's like the Sabbath. It's holy. What's the question? Now let's talk about American position on this. America, do you want to win God's heart? Remember, all the myths, all the downfall, the last downfall, started when they took the Ten Commandments from Alabama's courtroom, remember? Alabama courtroom, I remember those people crying on the step floor of the judicial court when there was only a monument of Ten Commandments without any insignia. I think that there is some reflection to do. And when we coming to talk about the future of a Jewish state that's supposed to be holy, the Holy Land, supposed to be, you know, no army. Come on. People need to let it be. Let it be the blessing for the world, to be shining, you know, on all the world, to get the energy going. You let some goons come and even claim and give us the kick. And we have a prime minister that is really, really wrong on this issue. He's actually saying, oh, no status quo. What status quo? You guys stole the holy site. Now, I'm using really strong language here to get the claim on Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not for anybody. It's supposed to be guarded, holy, kept sacred. Now, everybody asked me about the temple and everything. I didn't know about that. Guys, so much blood on the floor there. Who has the right even to claim a temple? Yeah, you know, in order for us to get there, we need to have love among us. We need to have peace among us. We have to have brotherhood of men. How far is it from here? It's light years away. So stop claiming all this BB, you know, whatever. I think it's time to get some songs. Maybe we can relax this ideas and think it over again and again and again.
Artzeinu haktantana, artzeinu hayafa, moledet bli kutona. מולדת יחיפה קבליני אל שיריי.
All right, and we are back. That was a beautiful, beautiful song for Israel, our little, little country. And if you look at the map, you can barely see it because it's really tiny. That's why when they're fighting over it, it's really ridiculous, because where are the Jews supposed to live? You know, they build towers and they build those places, all clusters, but the idea is, what's the purpose of this flag? To be holy. Now, tomorrow, the Prime Minister of Israel is going to meet with the President of the United States of America, the most important country in the world, by all means. And for that, he assigned a new media advisor, which is the most anti-advisor that can be, because his advice is really poorly managed, poorly thought, and probably, forget the rudeness of this guy, Brat. His name is a Brat, because nothing else can come from this Brat. She said that the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, is something, you know, it was like downsizing him, the Air Force pilot, the guy that is managing the war on terror, is the Secretary of State, for God's sake. He's been through wars in and out. Is how dare you? And I'm Israeli, trust me. Well, I'm American more, if you can say. Both. I said that long time ago. I don't know where it started, when it finished. But I'll say with the American side on this one, BRAP needs to go. He needs to go. You guys are kind. You can reconsider. No. Mr. Netanyahu, send them home. It's a lousy choice, and make it fast and better sooner than later. That's my opinion. Well, you know, I apply for that job with the recommendation at all from, United States congressman. Didn't get the job because I guess I'm not insider with those people, because you need to trash the other people in order for you to get a place. Guys, in Israel, there is now a new series that they call it the Silver Tray. The Silver Tray is how Israeli royalty, let's call them royalty, they're not defined by God, they're defined by themselves. Like we have 10 families that run this place, they take over everything. They take and divide the wealth of the country, and they don't care about poverty, they don't care about nothing. And those, you know, people that they put in place to sign the deal, to sign on a deal. For example, we have a gas, natural resources that's supposed to be off the people, by the people. No, they couldn't. They're fighting it. And sure enough, the Israeli public is smart enough to stand up and to reflect upon it. And we say, you know, there is one mention in the Talmudic Bible, or Talmudic learning of the Bible, to say why there is a sword on the land. Sword, it means like when the activity is coming to fight, it's when there is an injustice. When there is injustice in the land, that's what happened. That's what the Talmudic scholars say. Now, I am not the preacher. I'm a believer in God, and I see his miracles constantly when they save us. You know, 2014, I was here in the war, and, you know, Iron Dome, with the courtesy of United States of America, let's remember that, save the country. If not, how many missiles they were throwing to Israel toward Tel Aviv? Now there are anti-missiles for passenger planes. Isn't it great? Think about it. Every passenger plane is going to have anti-missile laser beam, which will shoot down those missiles. So nothing can happen to them. So we all can be safe. That's a great, great invention. Israeli airplane have it already for a lot, because they're crossing the Sinai. I guess that it needs to be protected. Wow, what a zoo. That's a zoo. I don't understand how we let it be so bad. Now, let's ask a question. Did we do everything in our power to make it happen? Let's think. We tried to make an accord with the Palestinians for 20 years, 22 years since the first 1993 accord, right? Now, those Palestinians didn't want to accord with Jordanian, which gave them a seat in parliament. The king, the father of Jordan, gave Arafat space in government. He didn't want him. So he said, okay, you all go out. And he killed, let's say, I don't want to mention, he's dead already. It's not for me to say. But he kicked them out. They just looking for trouble. They're not looking to have a space or to leave. Because if anybody of those sitting in the Israeli government now they are calling themselves Palestinian, you have to understand, they allowed 20,000 Chinese workers to come and build and work as a builder, you know, which is taking the Palestinian work. That is a no-no. Get a job, get their Israeli, the Arab, Palestinian, whatever you call themselves, in the government. Tell them, not, you know, no deal. Don't give them permission to do so. Think about those people that needs to work and bring food to the table, education. Build Jerusalem schools. We need the East Jerusalem. And I'm talking to the all everybody who's listening around. You guys are responsible as much as the Israeli. No, actually, Israeli have no right to build an East Jerusalem because you guys are stopping us constantly. You are responsible for the misery of the Arab people in East Jerusalem because you don't allow us to build roads. You don't allow us to build infrastructure. You don't allow us to build schools. You are the cause of this aggravated assault, and it's lie within you. Do you understand? Nothing I can say to change it. The fact that you don't let children have pavement to run on their little bicycle. You don't let people have a normal life because you have some kind of closed function on Jerusalem state, giving them all suffrage. Now, did you do all? No, you didn't. All right. So let's start with basic. Okay, what we know, not what we want to. Let's say if we keep basic humanitarian rules, right? I see those roads in East Jerusalem, and I can't believe myself. It's like going back in centuries. It's like going to Africa in 2 seconds, you're crossing to the other side. And boom, no wonder they live in a different reality. They are. They actually are living in their misery. But those children deserve good and kindness. They don't deserve the world. You know what? I think the Jews have a problem with one thing in the world. They represent God's word. Right? Yes. And you can blame anybody about that, but this is the reality. The Jewish people are holding the Torah, the commandment, the Ten Commandments of Moses, right? They are holding the testament of, with God. It said, we have a decree to respect the world, to give it honor, to give back to the land, to keep it safe, to try to have peace. No, you guys don't want anything about it. You know, the Jews remind you of God. It's like I know many people in my life that I know that I remind them constantly of God, and they don't want it. They don't want it. Remember, everybody can be the cool, not everybody, you know. It's like we have all the good and the bad. You all can go and transcend yourself and start anew, if you decide. Think about the fact that we want this world to be fixed enough, okay? And we have, listen, we sacrificed so much. We've been through so much. We sent people to the moon and they explode on the way back. You know, Columbia's shuttle was not just an example of sacrifice of mankind. It was a sacrifice of human spirit. They took their guts and flew to the moon in order to bring you some enlightenment. Now I'm trying to give you some ideas about enlightenment in the Holy Land. And this is Sunday. This is Jerusalem that's come aloud. I'm not doing, you know, it's every week, every day. This is God's faith. Now, you are going to let our people be free, not because, you know, you are the one to give us. This is the right. God wants it. That's the way it is. And if you don't like the way that God, you know, make you feel, your conscience, that's your problem. It's not our problem that you are not straight with God. Every time anti-Semitism runs, it's your corruption is in the side of it. You know, bigotry is in that side. That hate is on that side. Because you don't want, every time anti-Semitism rises, it means that your relation with God has been diverted. That's why you come and pick on the Jews and said, oh, they represent God. Yeah, because you decided that the rules of thumb are not applicable to you. And then the world is caught in shambles. But this time we're going to stop it. This time we must stop it. Nothing we can do about it. Because we're not going to go and destroy the world again. It's over. It's over. No, Syria. Yeah, we have people in Syria that are in devastated. And they are enemy of Israel. Yeah. I don't know why, but they are. They decided, who cares? Somebody told them that Jews are no good. Or whatever. But they are suffering. We need to stop it. Now, Assad cannot control it, he needs to go. Not because I don't care about him or because I say, it's because it doesn't work. If somebody doesn't work, he needs to go. And that's applicable to everybody else in the world. That's what change is about. When you change something to fix it. There is people, dictatorship is again and again and again, comes again. And that's by the rule of force. We have, you know, Burma elected a woman that was for freedom, and she got prosecuted, she got run, she was thrown to jail, everything. But now she's the leader, the new leader. But they did put in the book one rule to say that, you know, no one who has native, not native connection, family connection, can be president, which is ludicrous, because she's going to be president. They're going to change it, so forget it. But let's go back to the rule of thumb. If you have a problem with God, don't pick it on the Jews. The Jews have a problem with God too every day of the week, because they need to be higher. They have to do better. They have to give every day everything. And it's fine. That's the rule. Probably they're capable. You ask why they got so much money? Not because the main goal is money. It's because they need to share it with the world. They need to do charity. They need to help. That's why I expect that Israel is going to become a very rich country. Very rich. I think that Israel is going to be really rich. Why? Because her rule is to help the world. And she's going to help. And you know what? When Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to ask for more money, I want to say, I understand that you want more loan for guns. That's definitely not a place. We don't want more guns on the street. We don't want more guns anywhere. We understand soldier needs to own guns. And by all means, the city of Hebron. You know where is Hebron? Hebron is south of Jerusalem. It's the city where Abraham, the patriarch, is buried. Where Isaac, the patriarch, is buried. Where Jacob, named Israel, is buried. The mother of all, you know, we have Sarah, the matriarch of the Jewish people. There, buried there. We have Leah, the wife of Jacob, buried there. And Rebecca, the wife of Isaac, buried there. And there is a turmoil there. Now, let's ask the question. The patriarch of the Jewish people are all buried there, but the world decided to divide those two, and the burial grave into two. They decided to give half its graveyard to the so-called Palestinians, because I don't know who they are, because right now they're rioting. And as I know God's world, I know that the riots doesn't happen just in a holy place for nothing. This city is going to be taken soon if they don't stop it. And we should remember Hebron is a place in the Bible, if you read it, that portion of this week, it's Chaye Sarah. Chaye Sarah means the life of Sarah. Now, the story is like this, and I'm going to tell it maybe simple but quick. Abram was about to bury Sarah. Sarah, the matriarch of the Jewish people, was buried in Hebron, where on a ground that Abram bought with cash, money. He bought it. And even though that the man was so righteous that the people on the ground wanted to sell it to him, wanted to give it to him, he didn't take it. He said, I want to buy it. He bought it. And it's in biblical accord, it's written there. And Sarah graveyard is bought by Abram. For some reason, people think that you can divide that land because it's what? You're going to share it? You're going to share the graveyard? What a shameful act of miserable negotiation. Let me tell you something. You want to say if you did everything right? No, you did everything wrong. This is not Hebron. Is in the Bible written for Abram. He bought that yard. It wasn't supposed to be given away to anybody. And now there is a riot. What do you think? It's not going to come. The world is not surrounded on the truth. The truth is that you need to do right in order to build something. You cannot go on if you don't fix the mess you made. And those mess is by those liberals. Yes, liberal. Liberal idea that you could share in order to make them shut up. You forgot the truth. You forgot the real life importance of having truth. Bible is not a book you mess with. Bible is not a book that was written. It's God's word given to mankind to give them the journey, to help them through the journey in this universe. Fix it. Hebron, get back to the hand. And you know what? While you're there, Rachel tomb, which is the matriarch of all the Jewish people, and you cannot say anything about Rachel, because Rachel, she was Jewish, of course. You took the tomb away from the Jewish people. You think you're doing right? Think again. Just think. Use your imagination. How wrong you treated us. And if you think tomorrow is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with all his attitude, and trust me, I know he has attitude, with all his aggravated composure, something he has with him. He has the truth of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people needs their day in the sun, all right? And it's about time you give us back the respect that we're supposed to give God. We are not going to take it by force. We cannot. This is something the world needs to concede to God. That's how he likes it. You don't force yourself on God. God doesn't force it. He gives you the choice. Choose right. I'll tell you. You better choose right. It will be worthwhile. Trust me. God's world is beautiful. He gave it to us. He made it. Look how beautiful it is. And every time I remember that picture from the space that people, you know, all astronauts are looking for the space on Earth where they come from. And soon enough, when they discover that the land is one and the world is ours all to share, doesn't matter what point on the globe you are from. It's about time we start loving it, giving back love. Of course, after we take off the corrupted ones and get them off our paycheck, because enough is enough, all right? Let's listen to some music and we'll be back after that.
עכשיו אחרי יומיים שלושה שנסעת ולקחת את כל מה שהייתי איתך גיליתי תמונות על הקיר הלבן וכמה עננים ואפור על תקרת
All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. I've been talking about Hebron, the city of Hebron, where he buries his beloved Sarah. And you know something about the love that Abraham shared with Sarah? He said, he knew Sarah. That's what it says in the Bible. When you know somebody, you know how to love them. When you understand somebody, you can love them. And I know that people have a problem with a lot of relationship, and people have a lot of ideas as to how to expect some kind of relationship to work or not. The best thing to do is to know each other. And if we know each other as people, let's talk on the global scale. Right now we have a condition, okay? We have a very sensitive condition, which the Arab Spring turned to be Arab riots. They become a little rambunctious, how you call it, a little wild, because they are, every man become a superhero where a knife, a little knife that they teach them. I would expect that in this format now, a great movie will descend upon us. And you know, this BBS radio is broadcasting from California, and we have a Hollywood there, a Hollywood that gave the world All right, as usual, this is a long-distance call, guys. It's not easy. It's not easy. Think about it. You guys are morning in the West Coast, and I am here in the evening. In the evening, there's so many clashes, and I really blessed everybody with some peace, because we are not going to have much fun if we keep on going. And I was talking about the movies that the Hollywood brought us during the years, gave us inspirational movies, gave us, you know, fighting movies. And of course, there was a darkness of movies that taught the children to hate and to fight. And with the games that came about in the world of computer, killing become such an easy thing you do over the internet that they don't see the difference between life, real life, and computer life, or, you know, they pretend. And those kids have no reason to kill, and the fact that they're doing so makes me believe that they don't have the essence of how important life is. So in this point, we would love to see another Indiana Jones. And I heard yesterday, the actors which made the Indiana Jones famous, and Star Wars and the Tom Clancy's books made them to love Harrison Ford, and is a legend. And he said he will be welcoming a sequel of Indiana Jones. And I would say Indiana Jones coming to the Holy Land. That will be again, you know, we had the temple, we had a story about it, but it doesn't come to conclusion where we actually find the Ark of, you know, because the Ark of Solomon of the temple disappeared. So we need some imaginary that we actually feel it, and that temple becomes a holy temple for everybody. I don't know. Somebody will come up with something, because we need to give some purpose in this world to the all meaning of why we are fighting so hard to keep it together. And if you want to keep the world together, do you kill or you love? What do you do? When they said, you know, it's going to be only the time where love will be in the world, that we start rebuilding ourselves. And I know that there is many examples of people going around the world helping and sharing and giving. And, of course, they are not in the news because it's not worthwhile. It doesn't have any drama in it. But we might get some good movies to inspire souls, to become better people, to become better human beings, and to bring this species of humanity to a different level. Because, after all, we need to improve. We're not perfect. And we're not even, it's like an athlete. We are not even in the beginning of discovering the mental capacity, the strength, and the wonder of the world. And there are so many metrics that one has to pass, so many metrics that exist in the world, that we might bring a good day upon us if this is what we want. I think it will be nice. It will be nice if we can create some kind of understanding to know each other. So let's do that. Let's do that. You want to start something? Let's start a basic hub of understanding for mankind. Now, you can start with doing business, because that's where people will come. And I call upon this again and again. We need to create that hub. Anybody wants to know something about it, call me. All right? So I guess that we are off. I please forgive the interruption before, but I don't complain. This is God's space. Whatever it is, it is. Whatever I can give you, I give. And whatever we can be, I'm happy. All right? So I want to remind you, go to basic. Start with a basic understanding. You want to be better? Just fix yourself. Try to fix whatever you can. All right? Be good. I love you. God bless you. Please, 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 let's start a new day. It's about time. And for tomorrow, Mr. President, God bless you. And good luck, Prime Minister. God, may the forces of good will be with you too. Okay? Make it wonderful. Goodbye to everybody, and talk to you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Jerusalem time. God bless you. Bye-bye.